So how do I clear? There we go. So welcome everyone. I think I know you all, but my name is Angela Bourgeois. I work for the IT department here at Timmins. I'm with my colleague Trish Rancourt today and Jana Duval out of the Haileybury campus. So today we're gonna go over Lockdown Browser, what it does for you, what it doesn't do, how very important it is that you use the tool properly. Otherwise it's kind of like no point in using it at all. And then we're also going to see how, if we have time at the end, how we can allow a student to have access to an online e-text during a Lockdown Browser test, because obviously it locks them into the environment, so they wouldn't necessarily have access to that. So I'm going to show you how to do that today as well. Whether you're using original or an ultra-based course, how you use Lockdown Browser is fairly much the same. It's just different in terms of how you get to it. So I'm going to just share my screen, and if anyone has any questions as we go along, please feel free to interrupt, jump in, whatever. You can also put your questions in the chat, and Jana and Trish will keep on top of me for that. So we'll start with an original course, and then I'll show you what I show you in here. I'm going to show you quickly in an ultra course as well. So in case you haven't actually used it yet, you're not familiar with it, Lockdown Browser is basically a custom browser, like Edge, like Chrome, like Firefox, that's designed to lock the students into that testing environment while they're taking their test. So they can't screen capture, they can't copy paste, they can't print anything, they can't go access their courses, they can't search online, they can't do any of those things. The only thing that they can do is stay in that browser and within that test environment and write the test. There's two parts to Lockdown Browser. One is the browser itself, and then if you have that enabled, the second portion is a monitor, like a video and audio recording portion. And that's more used for when you're teaching students that are not physically sitting in front of you, but are sitting at home or somewhere else. Okay, so when you're in Blackboard and you create a test, you're gonna do that whatever way you would normally create a test, whether that's using the test generator, importing a test, or creating it right in Blackboard. Once you get that test created, that's when you're going to attach it to Lockdown Browser. So you've made the test, you've set all of your test settings, it's ready to go for like Tuesday at 9 a.m. Once that's done in the original format, you're going to come here, close that. Underneath the course management menu, there's this course tools. And if you click there, you should see Respondus Lockdown Browser in this listing. Now in original, this wasn't the default. So if you don't see it there, don't panic. Does anyone not see it? Okay, so I'm just gonna show you what to do. You only have to do this once to add it to your course and you won't have to do it again. So you're going to go a little bit further down under customization and then tool availability. Now, if you're in Ultra, don't worry about any of this. You won't have to do this, okay? So once you're in tool availability, you're going to go all the way down to the R's. You'll see Respondus Lockdown Browser. And then just put a check mark in front of it and hit submit. Okay, once you've done that, you're going to notice now your tool is showing up underneath, close some of this, underneath Course Tools and Respondus Lockdown Browser Dashboard. So here's that dashboard. Okay, we call it the dashboard because this lists every test that you have deployed to your students within your Blackboard course is listed here, and it's ready for you to attach to a course or to a test. If you are in Ultra, I'm gonna go there, and you wanna access the Lockdown Browser, on the left-hand side under Books and Tools, You're going to click there, and then you'll see the dashboard here. Okay, so there's a couple of different ways in Ultra how to get to that, but that's how you would get to it if you're just checking your dashboard, but you're not actually, when you do your test settings in Ultra, you could also set it there as well. So now that we're in the dashboard, a couple of things that I really would like you to take some time to go through and get comfortable with. There's some tabs across here at the top. These tabs have information for you on the use of Lockdown Browser, what exactly it is, what it does for the students. It has little videos. This is a really, really good resource area for you to go in and have a look. The main function of Lockdown Browser is to sort of act as a deterrent to cheating because students will be told you are locked into the browser, you are being monitored, you are being video recorded, you are being audio recorded. So that 80% of this tool's functionality is in providing as a deterrent. If, however, you don't follow up with Lockdown Browser at the end of the test and have a quick peek at some portions of those videos and check their environment check, students really, really quickly pick up on that, and they are just going to do whatever they want during your test. Because if you're not actually monitoring it, then they'll figure out, well, it doesn't matter, I can do what I want. They're not going to look at it, so I can cheat and get away with it. Okay, so it's really important for you to go back and have a look at these videos when you're done, and I'll show you that today. So this getting started area, like I said, just gives you some instructions. It also has instructions that you can share with your students, but typically by now, all students have done Lockdown Browser tests, so it's not unfamiliar to them. There's also video tutorials, so how do you get your exam ready? What's the student overview look like? Respondus Monitor overview, all that kind of stuff is found in here. There's a guides and a support area. So the answer for, like, if you're having technical difficulties during a test and your students are emailing or calling and they're saying it's not working, oftentimes a lot of students will say, please, can you just remove it and just let me take the test without it? 100% of the time, the answer is always no. Okay, so if there's technical issues surrounding Lockdown Browser, in case you don't have this written down, this is the IT number students are supposed to call. It's 866 999 0799. Okay, so if there's technical issues, you will tell your students to call that number. Never remove Lockdown Browser from your test. That's just not an option. Okay, you guys, as employees, can just call the main college number, whichever campus you're on, and dial extension 7000. You'll get someone in IT and we can help you with whatever issues you might be having. So let's say in this course, I'm going to go back to my original one because there's a few less tests in there. So you can see in this dashboard, here are the four tests that I have currently deployed in this course. And on the right-hand side, in green, it will tell me if it's been set to be required for that test. And if it's not, it says not required. So this top one, what it means is for this particular test, I've required it to have Lockdown Browser as well as the Respondus Monitor, which is that video recording portion. The second test, I've only required Lockdown Browser, the browser. So that probably means that these students are sitting in front of me. So I'm going to lock them into the browser so that when I'm wandering around the room, they're not opening a bunch of stuff they're not supposed to. But I don't really need to video record them because I'm right there. And then this test here is not required at all. When I want to set my settings for the test, I just click the down arrow beside it and I go to settings. So first question, do I want to require Respondus Lockdown Browser? Yes, you must use the browser. And then on top of that, you could use the monitor portion. So when I say require, it asks if I'd like to put a password in here. So this is the same for Ultra and for Original. But in Original, when you created this test, I think this test is in here. Let me go here. In the test options area, there was a password spot, okay? When I attach this test to Respondus, you're going to see a really long, randomly generated password be attached in this area. That is the password that's telling Blackboard that when a student takes this test, they must take it through Respondus Lockdown Browser. So the password that ends up in here can't be changed, can't be deleted, and absolutely don't give it to your students. If you do that, they get to do the test without Respondus. Okay, so I'm going to go and I'm going to attach this test just to show you. So yes, I'm going to require it. If I want to set a password for the test, I can do so here. Again, that doesn't apply in Ultra though. Ultra doesn't leave you this option. Then under my advanced settings, I just want to quickly discuss what's happening in there. So the first one says lock students into the browser until the exam is completed. There's a little explain button here on the right. So again, I know it's what you think you want, but just like that force completion option in your test settings that I ask you never to use, I'm going to ask you not to select this one. So what happens is in Lockdown Browser, they're locked into the testing environment anyways. Not selecting this option, if they try to leave the browser, it just provides the option where it comes up and says, hey, you're not supposed to leave the browser. Are you sure you really want to do this? The student would say, yes, I really need to leave the browser. Then it comes up and says, no problem, give me the reason that you're leaving. And they actually have to type something in there. And the reason that we're asking you to leave it like this is if IT is called and this student is having, let's say they drop their Wi-Fi and suddenly they can't complete their test. I legitimately need to go and get them out of the test and fix their Wi-Fi and get them back in. So I need that there so that I can close the test. I'll put in a little reason, hey, Angela from IT, some IT issue. I'll save it. And you'll see that in the dashboard when you come back. Most of the time, you would know anyways because you're the teacher, but it'll just be written. If you put this top check mark on, that just takes that option away from me. So the only thing I can do is press and hold the power button until their laptop turns completely off. So the next one says allow students to take the exam with an iPad. Never select that. Absolutely not. We don't support iPads and tablets and stuff like that here. It also really decreases the security of your test and what settings you can have. So just not an option, all right? But the three things you might want to use is allow access to specific external web domains. So if you wanted to allow your students to have access to an e-text during the test, if they needed to have access to a website during the test, you can put that in here. As soon as you put a check mark, it leaves a space. And then it would allow them access to only that website. Once they get to that website, they can't use any search functions that might be on the website. They can't click on any links to take them anywhere else. The only thing they can do is view that page. And I'm going to show you at the end how to add e-text links in here so that if you're doing an open book test, but your students have an online textbook, they would be able to access that.
Can I interrupt? Victoria is asking if students can use Citrix, which is not just a regular web.
No. So unfortunately, you can't use Citrix when you're using Lockdown Browser. Okay, so the next option is to enable a calculator on the toolbar. There's both a standard and a scientific calculator. So this is a really nice feature. It just helps to keep the students' desks clear. There should be nothing on it at all. And then if they need a calculator, it's right on the toolbar. The last one is to enable printing, but generally we would never do this because you don't want them to be printing your tests. So if that was it and I was done and I only wanted to use the browser, I would just hit save and close and it would be set for the browser. But in this case, I'm going to go ahead and attach proctoring. So there's two options for proctoring. The second one, so the first one says don't require, that's the default. The second one says require Respondus monitor for this exam. So if I turn that on, it always pops up at this little sort of message board. You can just say don't show this message again. It's just telling you what it's all about, and then just continue to Respondus monitor. So now that I've turned it on, it provides you with all of these options underneath. So this is the startup sequence that it will take every single student through who's doing a test in Lockdown Browser. Some of these you get to decide what they say and whether or not they're even turned on. So the first one is a webcam check. That's not optional. Lockdown Browser will do a webcam check for every single student's computer and make sure that the student can see themselves and that Lockdown Browser is picking up that video so that they're good to take the test. The next few are optional, so additional instructions, and if you just want to click preview, you would actually see what the text is in this area. But it's basically just telling the students some really good tips and tricks for having a successful testing experience with Lockdown Browser. So don't sit in front of a window, make sure you're sitting in a quiet room by yourself, have your workstation cleared off, all that kind of good stuff. Same thing with guidelines and tips. If you don't want any of these, you can just turn the check mark and turn it off. The next two, I usually encourage teachers to pick one or the other. So whether they show a student photo or they show ID, this is just designed to make sure that the student that's registered in your course is the student that's taking the test, especially for those online students that maybe you never met face to face. It's a good idea. This last one is really, really important. I cannot stress this one enough. And you need to like be super strict with your students in terms of what you expect here. So this environment check, again, you can turn it off. I would not tell you to do that. But basically what it is prior to the test starting, Lockdown Browser will tell the students, hey, we need to see the environment that you're taking the test in, so do a video and show me where you're sitting. And the idea is that the students are to show you the floor, the desk, the walls behind them, the walls in front of them, the walls beside them, so that you feel confident and comfortable that your student is sitting in that room by themselves, they're taking that test by themselves, and they don't have any material out anywhere that could be assisting them with getting the answers. Our students have a really bad tendency, especially if you don't really explain the environment check very well. They will pick up their laptop like this, and they will turn it, and put it down. And they'll be like, there we go, my environment check is done. That is absolutely not good enough. When the test is completed and you're going to go see those videos, you can click on that environment video separately. And so that's like, it'll be maybe 15 seconds, and you can just quickly watch. And if you do that right at the beginning of your semester, then periodically after that, you could just randomly select a few to check, especially if there's some bells going off saying, hey, that student did really, really well. And maybe I wasn't expecting them to do that well. I should go and check the environment check and check their video. The last one is the facial detection test. So Lockdown Browser will check to see if it can make out the features of the student's face. Students will fail this area often if they're sitting in front of a window with like a bright light behind them, because the camera just picks up like a very dark, dark image. But it'll tell the student, hey, I can't see your face. You need to move or whatever they need to do. In the facial detection option, just underneath that, you have two options here that you could turn off, but I find that they're handy for the students. And the first one is to prevent the students from starting the exam if they can't see their face during the startup sequence. Okay, so just in case the camera's not working or they're sitting in front of a window, you need to be able to see them. But the second one is to notify the student that you can't see their face during the test. So if I'm sitting at my desk and I'm typing away and I get up and I leave my chair, it's going to come up on the screen and it's going to say, hey, we can't see your face. The same thing will happen if I'm typing my test and I cover my mouth to cough. It'll give a warning and say, hey, we can't see your face. We need to see your face. It doesn't log it as a cheating attempt, but it does let the student know we are paying attention and you need to like make sure that you're sitting straight and focused and we can see everything. This last option, under recording options, it says record the screen while the student is taking this exam. So when you turn on proctoring, it's recording the student and it's recording whatever that camera is seeing. But this will also record the testing on the computer. So how the mouse is moving, what's actually getting typed, all that kind of good stuff. We are finding now, with certain screen readers and stuff, of course, as soon as you tell students that there's a tool to make you not cheat, some of them need to go figure out how to get around it. So just habit, I guess. I don't know. So every once in a while, someone will dream up some tool that can do like screen sharing or something so they can take the test for you. This is going to tell you if they've done that. This will tell you that they've done that. But Lockdown Browser is really quick on staying on top of these things, and it will quickly notice and give the student an error and actually kick them out of the test if they're using something that they're not supposed to. The last area under advanced settings is the first one is to allow this exam to be additionally delivered in a proctored lab. So this is really handy for, let's say you have an in-class group and you have an at-home group and they're all taking the test at the same time. The students that are sitting in class with you don't necessarily need to have the video recorder on because they're in class with you, but the students sitting at home absolutely need to have that on. So if you put this selection, it asks the student at the beginning of the test, are you taking this test in a proctored environment? If they are, which is with you, then they would say yes, and it would say, okay, no problem. What's the password? You would have to put a password up here, and then you would provide that password to the students in your class and say, hey, everybody, the password for today's test is cupcake. The students sitting at home taking the test get asked the same question, are you taking this test in a proctored environment? Those students would say, no, I'm not. And then it would just wouldn't ask for a password. It would just take them through and do the video camera setup and get them ready to do the test with monitor. Okay, there's also an option at the in here that says enable show your work step. So if you, especially like sometimes with math tests, stuff like that, students want to have a little scratch pad and write stuff down, or if they need to build some sort of chart that they can't do right in Blackboard, if you turn that on, what it'll do is at the end of the test, it says, okay, no problem. Let's hold up your work now. And they hold it up in front of their webcam, and Lockdown Browser will actually take a picture of it. and submit it along with the assessment for their test. And I want to say I think you can do 10 pages. So students could take 10 pictures at the end of the test to show their work, and then that would be submitted to you in the assessment area in your grade center. The other option is to allow another application to use the microphone during an exam. So if you wanted to keep some sort of application running during the exam, you would be able to hear them. But just be really cautious with this one because you don't want anyone else accessing that accidentally either. If I didn't choose this middle option, but I chose this last one, it says allow instructor live proctoring for this exam. So we haven't done a ton of testing on this, but the idea behind it is instead of recording your students taking the test and then reviewing those videos afterwards, this actually allows you to stay logged in with Zoom if you're on Zoom, and then you'd be able to see the students take their test, and you're monitoring it just as if you are monitoring an actual class. Okay. When you're all done, you're just going to hit save and close. Oh, and take that off because I didn't put a password, so it gave me an error. So now this particular test, it changes the name of the test in original only. In Ultra, it doesn't do that. And it says webcam requires respondents lockdown browser, and it says required. Just really quickly in this platform, if you went back to tests and we go back to the options, too far. Here's that password area that I was talking about. So here's this nice long password. If you forget that this isn't to be edited or deleted or anything like that, and you come in here and you think, hey, what's this? I didn't put this on here. And you take it off and you hit submit. When you go back to the dashboard, this is what happens. Okay. And sometimes this will happen even if you've changed like a question within the test before the students have taken it, or you've changed a date on the test. Always, always, always come and check your dashboard before the test starts to make sure it doesn't look like this. If it looks like this, every single one of your students can take the test without Respondus Lockdown Browser, okay, which is not what we want. And all you have to do really quickly is just click the Fix It button, and it's done. Okay, so now I'm going to go, never give them that long password. Yeah, and never, ever give them that long password. Oops. So in this particular course, I'm just going to quickly go through it. Here's my test. If I click on this test that I've created for my students, I can go to this wheel to see all my settings, or down here, I can just select it here. So I'm clicking on Lockdown Browser here. It's going to launch the dashboard, and then I don't remember what the name of the test was, new test. When I set this, it's not that one. See, I shouldn't have too many. There we go. When I set this with Respondus, I'm just going to put for the first one required. It won't change the name of the test. I got here. And now I'm frozen. Holy geez. Right there. So it doesn't change the name of the test like it does for original, but now I have this image that says proctored right beside it. So now I know and the students know that this test now needs to be taken with Respondus Lockdown Browser. Any questions so far? Okay. So two different ways for students to use Lockdown Browser when they are in a Blackboard course. If we are in Blackboard original, back here, and the student wants to take this test with Respondus Lockdown Browser, they must launch the browser first. So they're going to close everything on their computer, absolutely everything. Then they're going to find the icon for Respondus Lockdown Browser, and they're going to click on that, and it will bring up the Blackboard sign-in screen. So then they put in their username and their password, they sign into Blackboard, they go to your course, they click on the test, and it launches their test within the browser. If you're taking the test in Ultra, it's pretty much the exact opposite. Students are going to log into Blackboard in a regular browser, so Chrome, Edge, Firefox, doesn't matter. They're going to go to your course, they're going to click on this test, and when they click on the test, on the right-hand side, if I were a student, it would say, hey, you need to have Lockdown Browser for this test. Click here to launch it. Yes, Donna?
So if we are teaching a course that's in the last year of their program, should we assume they've already done this before?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not one person has got through 2 years without doing at least a few tests in Lockdown Browser.
Okay. So I guess my concern is that so many of my students don't buy the textbook. And my tests and quizzes come directly from the textbook. They were already created. This program that they need, I'm just concerned that they wouldn't have it on their computer, or they wouldn't have the webcam. So I just want to know when they're telling me this stuff, if there's like I want to reality check it. So
Yep. So every single student, when they sign on to become a student here, signs off on a BYOD policy that says thou shalt have an acceptable laptop type device in order to do your schooling with and a video camera. So for a student to say, well, I only have a Chromebook or I only have my phone or I don't have a laptop or my camera, whatever, is not working, that's too bad. Yeah, it's part of the policies. It's just like coming to test with a pencil. If you're going to do it on paper, you should be prepared and you should show up with a pencil. So every single student has the option to go to any of our campuses and sign out a laptop from the library in order to take a test. So if they know that the test is coming up next Tuesday and they don't have a reliable device at home, it's their responsibility to find somewhere reliably to take the test and a device with which to take it. But they can all go to the library and sign that out.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay, no problem.
Angela, if it's a first-time student taking a test, so in year one, do they have to go to the App Store to find that lockdown browser icon?
Super good question. So, when a student is first coming to the college, they have to download this software. It's a small little package, it's totally free for them. They come to the student portal. Okay, so they're just going to log into northerncollege.ca, click on student portal, and then down here underneath other services. Sorry, was that a lie? Sorry, underneath learning resources, it says Respondus for tests and exam. And this will automatically detect what type of device they have, because we do have lots of students that use MacBooks. So it'll download the Mac version if they have a Mac or a Windows version if they have Windows. They have to get it from here because Respondus Lockdown Browser is very college specific. So if they just Google it, I think the most common one is the University of Oklahoma that they get connected to. So, and obviously that's not going to allow them to log in and do anything, so that's not going to work.
And
I would
Craig,
recommend.
we have asked in the past that every department at the program orientation talk to them about where to find Respondus for testing and exams. And we're going to maybe possibly change that up so all students kind of have this little course that they go through before they actually even arrive on campus that will have them install it on their computer.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I had a situation this week where a student went home, got a brand new laptop, didn't have it installed, and I didn't know if they had to go to IT or they find it themselves. So this is good knowledge for me. So thank you.
Yeah. I mean, of course, they can always come to see us and we'll help. No problem, right? Our IT office, if they're on the Timmins campus, is open until 7:30 p.m. this semester every night, except for Friday. So they can call that 866 number till 7:30 at night, or they can stop in at our office in Timmins until 7:30 at night and we will help them.
Just one other question, though, in relation to this. When I've had a number of situations where students have launched the lockdown browser for the test, and some seem to get the request for a password. And I don't know why that happens, or many don't. And is there a reason for that?
There sure is.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah, so what happens is if the student, especially in the original courses, so less so in Ultra because Ultra forces you to launch it, but in original, what was happening was any student, let's say you made a test, you connected it with Lockdown Browser, and you didn't put a password on it, which is totally fine. 90% of your students went in, they launched Lockdown Browser, they signed in, they started the test, they're good to go. And then there's that student that's like, hey, it's asking me for a password. How come? It's because they're trying to open the test in a regular Excuse me, in a regular browser. 100% of the time, that's what's happening. So they haven't actually launched Lockdown Browser. They just opened a regular browser and they went to your test and they clicked on it. And it does come up and it says enter the password. But when they're, if you gave them that long randomly generated password that's in your test settings that I said never to give them,
Great.
if you gave them that, they could enter it there and they could do the test normally.
Okay.
But because they don't have that, it's asking for a password. They don't know what to do because they're not in Lockdown Browser.
Gotcha.
Okay,
Perfect.
so
No,
the
thank you.
password isn't needed for them to go access the test. Like that password is just for us, I guess.
Yeah, so that password in that area is for Blackboard to know that that test is required to be taken in.
Gotcha. Okay. See, I thought I was going to tell them this password so that they can go and start their test, but you're telling us
No,
to tell them
yeah,
that.
no,
Okay.
no,
Got it.
absolutely not.
Got
And
it.
in Ultra, you don't even get that password option on your test. So if I go in here and I go to my settings, I'm no longer even allowed to set a password in Ultra. The only thing I can set is an access code.
Okay, so it's just getting respondents to talk to the test itself. That's it.
Yeah. And again, once you get to Ultra, you don't see really any of that interaction behind the scenes. So it just all it'll show you is that little bonhomme there, that little face or whatever that is, saying that this test is being proctored.
In Ultra, you
Beautiful. Let's see.
Yes, and also in Ultra, when the students, so let's say it's their very first time and they click on the test to start it, if they don't have it installed yet, it's going to come up and say this test is required to be taken with Lockdown Browser. Click here to launch Lockdown Browser or click here to download it. So if they haven't actually downloaded it yet, and sweet Jesus, I would never recommend just downloading it when your test is starting. But if they hadn't downloaded it, they could click there and they could download it. If you're giving the students a test and it is semester one and they are shiny brand new students, there is a good chance that they haven't been introduced to it. I would recommend that you do a practice test with your students. So just create a really quick assessment in your course, have it have one question, attach it to Respondus, just so that you can tell all of the students you've got a week. Make sure you go in and you take this test before the week is up. If you have any issues entering the test or doing whatever, go see IT and get that fixed before your actual test date. Okay. So once the students have gone in and they've taken the test and they've done what they're supposed to do, what does that mean for you guys now? So when I talk about using monitor and having it video record the students, I'm absolutely not telling you that at the end of that test, you need to go in and watch 20 students' videos for the entire hour. No one is doing that. No one. But what it does is it actually sends those videos off to Respondus. And it uses artificial intelligence to comb through those videos and sort of pick out times where potentially there was something going on. So something that it thinks that you should be reviewing. So maybe somebody left their chair, maybe somebody just keeps, and it's really cool because if they continually look down, it will flag that and say, there's something going on here. This student maybe is reading something or whatever, it'll flag it. So when their test is done, and you do have to give respondents a little while to run those videos, depending on the busyness at the time of day and year, sometimes it can take 10 minutes, sometimes it can take, a couple of hours. But once they're done, you come into the dashboard, you find your test, and instead of selecting settings, you're going to choose class results. So in here, this shows a list of every single student that I have in this class, which in Ultra is not many, so let me do it in here so that you can actually see something. Aha, not that one either. Good stuff. Okay, let me show you nothing. But it would show you all of the students that you have in your course, and then it ranks them by priority review. So anyone that it considered to be a high priority, which meaning that they have a video where there's a lot of it marks it with a red line anytime it thinks that you should review that area, it'll put them at the top. That does not mean that that student was cheating at all. Could mean that they had a cold and they coughed a lot and covered their mouth, and that's what got flagged. It also will flag if their internet connectivity is a little bit shitty and not as good. So I almost caught that swear word. So it'll flag that as well. So you don't have to come in here and watch the whole video. You can just click on those red lines to see what was happening in that area. I'm very sorry that I actually can't find one for you to look at today. But there are anything else turned on?
The
Very first one.
I don't remember. We all did it, remember?
I know we all did it. So there is also in this area would be also where you would go to look at an environment check video. So that will be separate and you will see their startup video when they're first getting into the test. And then you will see their environment check video. And then you will see the video for the entire test. Let me just quickly. Hang on. I know a teacher that gave a test today, so.
I have a quick question just while you look for what you're looking for, Angela. So when I'm doing my test, when I'm editing my test details and it says open test in new window, would I keep that as yes so that even when they do open response, it'll just open a different window for them? Or
Yeah,
do we
it
click
doesn't
no?
matter. That one doesn't matter at all. You could put it or leave it.
Okay, thank you.
Who's recently done a test? It wasn't Sandra. She didn't have it on lockdown. Think. I'm just trying to find one that's just been done so I can actually show you some examples.
This morning. I don't know if it was through video, though. But I don't even know which one.
I think it was too old. Sorry, we had videos in there before, but after a year they go away. So, well, from there. Can I get you to look that up while we're continuing? Okay.
Cindy did a test on Sunday, Angela.
Who did?
Cindy, remember
Oh,
we had
yes.
to support that?
Yeah, oh goodness, how do you spell her last name?
DESCHATELETS.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So she did a test. Here we go under class results. Okay, so nobody did that one. Jeez. Test number two. This is better. Nope.
First one.
Oh,
First one.
God. Okay, well.
it ended up being test number one, that one.
This one here?
That one.
Okay, well, she's only got one student that did it. But anyways, at least there's
Okay.
one student. So this has reviewed it as a low priority. Okay, when you click this plus button beside the student's name, here is the this is the video for the whole test. Now, if it had flagged anything, it would mark it over here in red. You would see, you know, and it tells you what time. At 10:08 this happened, at 10:15 this happened. And then it puts red lines all along this timeline to tell you you could just click at that on that timeline at that spot to review that video in that spot. Here's the stuff that we have. Oops. Let me pause that. Here's the pictures and the videos we have before the student started the test. So here's the student ID. Okay, so you can click on that to see their ID that they match what their name that they're supposed to have. And here's that environment video. So this student is showing the walls in the room. I don't know if he actually shows where he's sitting. Nope, so that one's not so good, but you see that idea? You would sort of also need to see that work area to see what's happening there. And then this is the pre-exam. That's that, it just tells you, hey, let's record a quick little snippet to make sure your camera's working. And then this is the rest of your exam. Unless you come in here and you review these things, I can't say it often enough. Students will really quickly figure out that you're not bothering and they will do whatever they want in their test. Because they'll just get away with it, right? So, like I said, the great big portion of this program is to act as a deterrent to cheating. So, you want to make sure that you follow up in here and that you review it. Any questions about any of that? No? Okay. So, let's say that you want to allow students to have access to a browser during the test. So I showed you in this area, if this is on require and I go to advanced settings, I can click this button, allow access to specific external web domains. So within my question, I could say in the question, you know, go to the website northerncollege.ca and tell me what's on the main page or whatever the question is. If I go in here and I type in .ca and I save that, that's going to allow the students, you still have to put that link somewhere in the test in the question, but it would tell Respondus Lockdown Browser that link is okay to go to. Once the students open that link in their test, it doesn't let them go anywhere else off of it. It's not like they can start selecting links on that page to go somewhere else, okay? The only thing they can do is see that page. But let's say I have an e-text. It's not enough for you to just go in there and put down the path to the e-text because you're not catching everything, believe me. So students still won't be able to sign in. So there is an extra little step that you need to do to capture that entire link in order to allow them to have access to an e-text. So the first thing that you need to do is download something called Domain Spotter. Now I'm a big Google Chrome user. I'm assuming that they have this for Edge and Firefox as well. I just happen to know that they have it for Chrome. So up here, what I would do if you've never done it is go to Google. You're going to type in Domain Spotter. And it's just like an extension. So you'll see here under Google, make sure it's the one under Google, and it says Domain Spotter. When I click on that, good Lord. Hang on. Wants me to sign in. We don't want to do that. There we go. So I already have this downloaded. But if I didn't, instead of saying remove from Chrome, it would say add to Chrome right here. Okay, so you're just going to click on that button to add this extension to Chrome, or I guess whatever browser you're using. Once this is added here, then what I have to do in order to get access to my eText, I'm just going to go get the email from Jana. Going to give me, Jana's kindly provided me with her account so we can actually sign into something. So once I have that, I'm going to open up a blank browser. Okay. Before I go to that link, you see this little puzzle icon here right beside the star? I don't know if you can see that up at the top. I risky my cursor. I'm going to click on there, and I'm going to choose Domain Spotter. When I choose Domain Spotter, because I've used this previously, there's a bunch of text in here. The first thing I'm going to do is clear this. Okay. If you haven't used it before, there won't be anything in there. That's okay. And then instead of entering the URL in my browser window, I'm going to enter it here under step one. So I'm actually going to go find that link from Jana. And I'm just going to paste that in here. Once I have it pasted in here, I click open. So now what happens is Domain Spotter looks like it's closed, but it's still running in the background. It launches my window. You have to actually log in with your username and password. Okay, don't worry about the students. You don't need to be logging in with theirs. You log in with yours. And you're going to do the entire process of getting to and launching that e-text. So in Pearson, here's all my courses. I'm going to click on the one that I want. Over on the left, I'm going to click on Pearson e-text. And then I'm actually going to open the textbook. So once that textbook has opened on my screen, at this point now, I want to go back to Domain Spotter and grab that entire link that it just created to get to all here. So I just click on that puzzle piece up on the top right-hand corner. I click on Domain Spotter. And now you see all this text in here? This is absolutely everything you need to put in there in order for your students to access this particular e-text during their test with their account. So you have to copy the whole thing. And then you go back to Blackboard. I'm just going to remove this so as not to confuse. And you paste that entire link in this area.
So what if it's blank? Like I accessed my book as well, and I'm in the book. And then when I click that.
Did you click that to start with before you went there?
When I logged in, yeah, I'll redo it again.
Just try again.
Is it a Pearson book, Catherine?
No, it's an ERPI.
ERPI. Do you have to log in to get it?
Yeah.
ERPI.
Yeah, it's a Quebec company, I guess. So it's for one of my gas courses.
Yeah, so every textbook company deals with these things differently. Yeah. So we might have to play with it a little bit.
Yeah, I can share my screen, or if you guys want to meet
up. Yeah, let me stop sharing mine, and then you can share yours, and we can all have a look.
Yeah, let's do that. So, okay. So this is the, you guys can all.
Nope, not yet.
No. Okay, so it's my, yeah, so when I go to ERPI, like this is just the homepage, so I got to go to.
No, hang on though. First things, I want you to click that puzzle.
Yep.
And I want you to go Domain Spotter, and then right there on under step one, that's where you enter your URL for the text. So that
top this thing. Here.
Yeah.
This one. Okay. So I'm going to copy that. I'm going to go here. paste that there.
And then hit open. And then from this page now, okay. Navigate through to your textbook.
So now opening the book, like you said earlier, okay. Now I should be able to have something here, right?
Yeah. So now when you go back to the domain swatter, there's all your stuff. So you can just click copy here.
Okay.
And it'll copy that entire bunch of text, and then you would paste it in.
Beautiful. Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Okay, you're very welcome.
Easy.
So yeah, in this area, you would just type all that down. And then when you're done, you would hit save and close. And now when I launch that test, or when the students launch that test, they would be allowed to access that electronic textbook online for their test.
And it won't ask them to sign in, like, because I signed in with my credentials.
Oh no, they have to sign in with their own credentials.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so they're still gonna ask them to sign in. It's just going to allow them to go through that whole process and open their textbook.
Yeah.
If they have two texts under that sign on, which I've seen in some courses, it will allow them to open the one text that you clicked on. So if you have two textbooks in there and you want them to have access to both, you're gonna do that process twice. Okay, you're going to go do it the first time, click on the first book to open it, copy from Domain Spotter. Then you're going to reopen Domain Spotter, clear it, and go through that whole process the second time and click on the second book to open it, and then copy the coding from in there. I'm trying to think if there's anything we forgot to go over. Any questions?
Where did they see the text in their chat?
Oh yeah, so if you've allowed them in Lockdown Browser to access this e-text, you still have to give them that link, not that great big huge long one, within their test. So if it's in original, let me just edit this. You would go in to edit the test, and in original, you could put it, oh, a student already did the test. Yeah. Let's make one really quick. You could put it here under the description, or even better, stick it under the instructions. So if this was my link, so if it's just www.pearson.com, that's all you have to put there. You don't put that whole thing from Domain Spotter. And then when the students take the test, let me just yes to all of this. When they go to launch the test, they'll see, oh, I'm not a student. They'll see that link in their test that says, you know, click here to access Northern College, or click here to access your Pearson e-text. And then they'll get to see that within their course. If you're in Ultra allows you to put in non-questions into your tests. So you could just add regular text and you could put that, I don't know if anyone's done this one. Click the plus button, here we go. And then you could say add text and you could type it right in there.
So just if I was to do this and use the Northern College example, mm-hmm. if it takes the student to the Northern College page based on the URL you just listed, can they still click on all the links within Northern College or they cannot?
Nope. They can do nothing else on that page. They can't, if there's a search bar on that page, they can't use it. If there's links on that page, they can't go to it. All they can do is go to that page and see what's on that page specifically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Same with your e-text. If on that website you have your e-text, but then there's links and launches to other organizations or other materials, they would not be able to access that unless you've given them permission.
Okay.
John, you have a question?
Yeah. This is my scenario is this. I have a test coming up, a midterm coming up. It's an open book. I'm absolutely okay with students referring back to the slides. It's an online class. So okay. They can look at any of the classes, any of the presentations, the PowerPoints, the attachments, et cetera. I'm okay with that. What I really want to prevent from happening, because I know they're doing this, is a collaborative chat. Because I want the students to take the the test on their own. And I know they're doing this now live and in class. They'll have another window open and they're chatting amongst themselves. And I want to be able to say, no, during this test, it's you and the computer and you're not collaborating.
Absolutely. So there's just two things that you can do. The first thing I would recommend is that you still attach Respondus to your test and you attach Respondus monitor as well so that you're video recording them. Because they are allowed, oh, you want them to access their notes.
Oh, I thought their computer.
Huh. So you want them to have access to all of their notes on the computer. So right there, you've just got me. So then what maybe I would recommend, if it's possible, because you're not going to be using Lockdown Browser because they can't access. I mean, you'd have to go in and put in every single link you want them to go to, but that wouldn't give them access to personal notes, would be when they're taking the test to take it while you're in a Zoom session so that you're still mimicking like a class where they're sitting at their computer, because then you'd be able to hear them talking and you could make sure that they're all sitting alone. That would really be your only option at that point then, if they need to have access to local documents on their computer.
John,
If
they're also in the building, like if they're physically in the building, you can just ask for an invigilator. But if they're completely online students, Zoom is the best.
Yeah, I've got students all over Canada.
Yeah, the other option is their notes, which they could have as a journal or something, they could submit into Blackboard so they could see it in Blackboard.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, because if they need to have access to a bunch of different platforms, then it's going to be almost impossible for you to have it in Respondus and then go in and say they can have this, they can have this, they can have this, because the minute that they need something local off their computer, it won't let them, and you can't change that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, Quinn?
Hi, Angela.
Hello.
I have the same situation that I want my student to look at the note. So then I see the Ultra Blackboard have an option for me to attach my note there. But the problem that 2 weeks ago, we have our first test and my student having hard time scrolling through the note and then go back to my quiz, because my quiz is like for example, 100 questions and Blackboard Ultra would not let them make two screens on one. So I don't know if like there are an option, it's easier for them to go to the note and they also look at my look at the quiz questions.
Yeah. So an option, and I don't know if this is feasible for your students, if they're allowed to have notes during their test, the one thing you could say is whatever notes you're going to use for your test, print them out, bring them in on paper and do the test with the printed notes that you're referring to. And then what you can do is in the setting of the test, you can say at the end of the test, you're going to submit. I'll just go down to the option here. Under this advanced settings area, you're going to enable this show your work at the end of the exam. So if you wanted to make sure that they had the notes that they were allowed at the end of the exam, they could just show each of their notes. The computer would take a picture of that and submit it to you so that they still have their notes during the exam. It's just they're on paper. As long as they were told ahead of time, they could prep that and have it printed and bring it in with them. And then if you enable to show your work at the end, you'd be able to tell, yes, for sure, they're using the notes that they were allowed to use and not something else.
Yeah. Probably a good option.
Yes, unless it's more than 10 pages. And then I think the limit is 10 for this area, but at least it's something to start with.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions? I mean, it's not perfect. There will always be times when you create something and it's guaranteed to do this, and then someone feels the need to go out and try and figure out a way around it. If you Google Respondus Lockdown Browser and ways around it, you're going to find a bunch of stuff online. But Lockdown Browser is really, really good to go through and to make sure that it addresses every one of those things as quickly as possible. So if today your students think that they can get away with it, trust me, tomorrow they can't. If the students have done something, I meant to address this, in the test that is considered not okie dokie, it will tell you in that dashboard area that something has happened. that you think that they think that you should look at. If the student actually in fact cheated and Respondus knows that they cheated because they tried to open up another application or they were running VMware or something, it actually kicks the student out of the test. And it will tell you in this area under class results if you're using Monitor and if you're just using Respondus, if you go into review early exits, it actually tells you that the student was kicked out of the test, when the student was kicked out of the test, and why the student was kicked out of the test. So in this example, this student, it says the exam session was terminated because a modified version of a blocked application was running on the computer. That means that this student was running some sort of screen share software or VMware that they weren't allowed to be running during the test, so it kicked them out. And once that happens, well, then you're done your test. In this second example, student exited the lockdown browser early, reason stated, I just typed in their SVH or SVF, but the student would type in there what happened. So if it's an IT issue and they're on the phone with me, they would say IT issue on the phone with Angela. I would also then send you an email to say, hey, this student called me at this time with this issue. Here's what we did to resolve it, but you will see that they were on the phone with me during the test. But it'll tell you that here. And then if you had Monitor attached as well, then you would see that in the video and it would tell you in this flagged area on the right where the videos were in the other example that the student left the test or got kicked out because they were cheating or whatever they were trying to do. Any questions? I think we're almost out of time. Don't be afraid to send me an email if you're taking, if you're giving your students a test. Send me an email with the day and time of your test and the room that it's in if it's on campus. And our department then can just have a heads up in case students start calling for test issues. It'll just help us be a little bit more prepared. If you're doing the test on campus, we can also come to your classroom, especially at the beginning of the semester, to sort of give the students the lowdown about here's what's expected of you, here's what you should do, here's what you should not do, so that everyone's super prepared and knows what's expected of them during the test. All right. Well, I guess that's it, gang. Okay. Well, thanks very much for your time. I wish you a good rest of your day and we'll chat soon.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Angela.
Very well. Thanks, Angela. Thanks. We appreciate you.
Ah, thank you.
Very, very, very much.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye.